Well, good morning, everyone. Well, you all sound really good today. This morning is good to hear people singing in here. I was thinking about all the things we hear. Just you guys sound good, and thank you for the worship team for leading us. We have just finished a series on God using ordinary people and how God takes people in ordinary circumstance, and we looked at several examples in the scripture. We had four different people teach on that. And we're moving out of that. We have another series that's about a month long about God using the church as the pillar of the truth. And I want to look, before we really get started or even pray, I want to look at the verse that's the foundation for this and the concept we're going to look at. This is from 1 Timothy 3. The Apostle Paul was planting churches, and Timothy was a younger man, a younger pastor who was establishing a church, and Paul sends him these letters to tell him. Actually, he explains it here. He says, here's his motive. This is about in the middle of the book. He says, I'm writing these things to you, even though I hope to be with you soon. So he's sending him this letter. Now, this is, if you learn about Paul's life, sometimes he was in conflict. Sometimes people were trying to kill him. Sometimes he was arrested. Sometimes he ended up in prison. So you would say it was hard for him to plan his schedule. And so he says, I'm hoping to come to you, but in case I can't, I'm going to send you this letter. And here's why. So that if I'm delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. He says, so this letter is so people know how they can live the Christian life in the household of God, talking about the church. This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. That's really almost an add-on, an extra thought at the end. We're going to talk about this concept here of the church of the living God as the pillar and foundation of the truth. We're going to talk about the church as it supports the truth. So why don't we pray that God teach us together. God, thank you that this is what is in the scripture, that the church all over the world supports the truth, and the reality of that, help us to understand that today. Help us to live that. Pray that these words and these concepts and these promises would move in our hearts to be part of who we are. Amen. So I want to focus a little bit on this, the end of this verse, which is 1 Timothy 3:15, before I gave you 14 and 15. So this is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation. Pillar and foundation. I worked in a construction for 20 years. If you include all the years working with my father, it's probably longer than that. but I want to look at what is a pillar. And I looked up pillar online, and here are several definitions. A tall vertical structure of stone, wood, or metal used as a support for a building. So that's one of the definitions, a pillar. Now we have pillars in this building is very common in Greek architecture, but a pillar is what holds the structure up, and they list several different types of building materials. Another possible definition, and we see this, you can hear it, something shaped like a pillar. Someone say, oh, there was a pillar of smoke coming off of the fire. See that pillar there? It's not really a pillar. It just looks like one. Be a figurative, something tall and slender. And here's the last definition, which I think is the one we're going to focus on. A person or thing regarded as providing essential support for something. A person or thing as regarded as providing essential support. So I wanted to focus on a little video. Can we pull the video up and go over to that? It's pretty short, and this is a video about construction. Let's see if we can flip over to that. I may have surprised the AV team here. Pull this up. So, before you start, now, you can see this. Let's see here. So this, see this building here? And see this, there's a little excavator right here. Now, you can see this arm on the excavator. You can notice that it's reaching very far out. Now, watch this here. It's not too long. 39 seconds. Watch what happens. So you can see he's grabbing onto this pillar right here. That's a vertical pillar right there. Now, and everyone is leaving quickly. Leaving quickly. Okay, that's all I need from that. Normally, when you design a structure, you design it so the weight and load is shared across many points, so that if you remove one pillar, the whole thing doesn't collapse. That's what happened here. This wasn't in our country, but that happens. Actually, in this building, we don't have separate pillars, but you can actually, once you get behind the plaster, there are parts of the building which are very thick. Actually, the walls here are several courses thick, back over here, back around the bell tower. Actually, the bell tower at the bottom, it's made of brick, but it supports the weight. That's the tallest part of our building. At the top, it's three courses of brick thick. That's the three layers of brick this way, and they're interlaced back and forth. At the bottom, it's five courses of brick thick, because you know what they found out? Through scientific experiments, bricks are heavy. And they use more brick to carry the weight. And in this building, these brick pillars, we'll call them, hold up the walls and the roof. Now these, actually here, see these beams here? These are what they're called, these are ornamental. You know what that means? They don't do anything. They're there to look nice. They do nothing, pretty much, to hold up the structure. In the part you can't see above this roof, there's these big oak beams, about this thick, huge pieces of wood, and they come up from these pillars here, here, there, there, and they meet in the middle, and they're all bolted together with steel plates, and it holds up this structure. And what holds those beams up is these pillars. It holds the whole structure up. And right now it's raining out a little bit. It's windy. It's cold. That provides shelter for us, for all of us. We can meet here under the structure because the pillars hold this up. They hold the roof up. If they were gone, we wouldn't meet here. Everything would be a pile of rubble on the ground. It would fall apart like that building did. Now, what Paul says to Timothy, that the church is the pillar and support of the truth. I mean, if the church wasn't here, what would happen to the truth? It would fall down. It would have nothing to hold it up. This is Paul's point. And we're going to look at this concept today. And actually, today, in our culture, we're in desperate need to understand the truth. Things that are simple. And I'm going to use a modern-day example that I'm sure you've read about that is kind of bothering me. I don't know what to do with it yet, but I've been thinking about it. But we can see that our culture is dying for simple truth. So I don't mean to be insensitive if I bring this up, so you may know someone who struggles with this, but we're going to try this. So you've been to Walmart. You've been to Target, you've been to a store. Every store has a bathroom, right? Why did they make the bathrooms for these stores? Why did they exist? thank you. You are people who have the truth. In case someone needs to use the bathroom while they're shopping or after you're shopping, you can. That is why they built these buildings. We have bathrooms here. In case someone needs to use the bathroom, we have incorporated that in how we build buildings today. It used to be in the old days, they were called outhouses. They were outside. No stories on that. So, I want to read a story. This is something that happened on Facebook. There is a man who calls himself Sarah. I'm not going to use the last name. He says, "Here I am in a women's restroom in North Carolina that technically I'm barred from being in." She, who's really a he, writes in a photo caption directed from the women's restroom at the government center. "They say accepting me as a person I have fought all my life to be seen as reflects as the downfall of one great nation." The sentence doesn't really make sense. There are several concepts here. What she's saying, he is saying, see, even I'm confused. He is saying, going into this bathroom refers to accepting me as a person I have fought to be. Here's the honest truth. I'm not trying to be mean, I'm not trying to be insensitive for people who struggle with who they are in this identity issue, but we build buildings. They were not designed to help you with your identity. We have tons of people today are struggling with who I am. As a matter of fact, our culture says you will be satisfied in life when you have enough experiences that prove who you are. Really, the first time in our life, saying you need to find out who you are. In the Old Testament, you know how it used to work? The father, the matriarch, the family would say, "This is who you are. I give you a blessing. I give the oldest son a blessing. You are part of our clan. You are part of our family. This is who you are." Today we say, well, we don't know who we are. We need to find out. Going through a door, changing the sign on the wall will not help you be comfortable. There's no magic. There's no power in the sign on the wall. You will be disappointed if you're looking to the building to define who you are. It'll eventually crush you because there's nothing there. It's just a door. And so our culture is desperately in need of simple truth today. It's confusing. It is confusing. So what is truth? What is truth? The church is supposed to help people understand the truth of how life works. Sometimes people like the truth. Sometimes the truth is repulsive. You know, Jesus Christ had an encounter with Pilate, with Pontius Pilate. And Jesus often said this, if I remember right, he said, "I tell you the truth," over almost 200 times in the Gospels, it's recorded. He would often say, "I tell you the truth." And he said this to Pilate. He said, "I tell you the truth." And Pilate was telling him, "Don't you know I have power over your life? Don't you know I can say if you live or die?" And Jesus was saying, "It's bigger than that," in so many words. And he said, "I tell you the truth." And this is what Pilate said. "What is truth? What is truth?" And he turned around and left him. What is truth? How can you know the truth? It's so confusing. What you say, what I say. We hear that a lot today. And I was talking to a probation officer this week. Sometimes I call them up and about a particular individual. No one in the room. Not me either. kind of a long story. But we were talking about how, and they were asking that this person have some counseling. And the probation officer said, "You know, I've noticed that this person has lots of questions. And I says, yeah, I've talked to them. Have you noticed when they don't like what you're saying, a lot of questions come up? What is the truth? What about this? What about that? Sometimes we have concepts and we push the truth away with questions. This is what Jesus Christ said. And I think this is a verse we all need for today. What is truth? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. This is what Jesus Christ said. He didn't just say, I know the truth, I understand the truth, 2 + 2 = 4. This is an amazing statement. I am the truth. I am the truth. Why would he say that? A lot of us have heard this verse before. Why would he say that? He is the truth. He is the truth. I think one of the reasons is he is the creator of everything. This is just my opinion. He didn't elaborate on this. This is my opinion. Why did he say this? Because everything came from him. You know, I love entertainment. I love movies. I was realizing a lot of the movies we watch today, nothing is real in them. It's simulated. All these Marvel movies, the Avenger movies, these are popular now, right? This is the most, you know, they have these little spoofs about between, what is it? What's the other comic series with Batman and who's that? That's right, DC Comics. And they have these little spoofs on YouTube of how the Marvel guys are all doing so much better, you know, and they drown the other guys in money. We can't hear you. We're drowning in all our money. But I realize none of those things are real. People can't do those things. It's all pretend. It exists digitally. It doesn't exist in real life. A lot of these things we look at, they're not even real. And Jesus Christ is saying, there's nothing more real than me and what I say and what I establish. Nothing more real than that. Nothing more real. I want to give an example of creation, a testimony of creation. This is in John 1:1. In the beginning, the Word already existed, referring to Jesus Christ as always existing. He is always there. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through Him. And nothing was created except through Him. God created everything through Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes if I'm working around the house or doing something, I'll turn on a little video or on my phone of the Christian versus the atheist guy, and they'll talk about this and this subject. And you know, it's really amazing to me as I get older how weak the arguments are that God isn't real. And how the scientists say, we know how this happened. You know what the Big Bang Theory is? The Big Bang Theory says everything came from nothing. Not just matter and energy. Time and space, they say nothing existed. And it started at a very small point. In a very short amount of time, everything started. You know, in all of our scientific experiments, no one can create something from nothing. And the scientists have even redefined what nothing is. Sometimes when they talk about, well, we've tried this, nothing really isn't nothing. It's something, it's almost nothing, but there's something there. We can't do that. You think I'm joking? We can't do it. We cannot recreate it, but they say this is how it happened. Well, isn't it reasonable to say God spoke? The God who was always there, He spoke. And things were created. Let there be light. And there was light. The other thing we can't do is we cannot create life from things that aren't alive. We cannot do it. But this is the theory of how life became on the earth. The scientific theory, I should say. The other theory is this one. God created everything, and nothing that was created happened without him. So this was confirmed by Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians. But for us there is one God, the Father, by whom all things were created and for whom we live. All things, everything you see, everything you know. Jesus Christ is saying, I am the truth. I am the truth. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. A very unusual thing to say. I'm the beginning and the end. Everything starts with me. I created everything. Everything is going to come back. Not to me, but to Jesus Christ. That's what he said. And there is one Lord Jesus Christ through whom all things were created. I think that's why he says that. I am the truth. Lots of things you think, lots of things you imagine, lots of things you're afraid of, they're not there. They're not real. So I have time for one of those 178 truths, the time when Jesus said, I tell you the truth, the time for one of them. The reality of the truth, one of the significant things about spiritual truth, this is the New Living Translation. But all who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truth I have spoken. Everyone will be judged. All of us will stand before a living God, all of us, and give an account to God. You know, I realized one day, I love the idea of grace. I love the idea of being forgiven. And I love it so much. You know what? I like to pretend that in my mind that there is no judgment. We're just going to skip that part. But it's not true. It's not what this says. So I have a video, another video I want to show that, and I'm going to ask your forgiveness. This is, you may have seen this before, but I love the visual here. And it's about the judgment, and they add a little elevator music, so I apologize, because I don't think the elevator music is going to be at the judgment. But anyway, I like the visual. Let's watch this. This is just a couple minutes long. I need the sound on this one.
Next. File, please. Some lying. Some stealing. And some acts of kindness here and there.
I tried to live a good life.
Well, let's see how good. This way. Next. File, please.
Okay, I admit it. I did a lot of bad things.
Yes, I see.
But I've done good things too, you know, to offset the bad things. Like one time, I cheated on a test, but then I cleaned up trash in the park.
Mm-hmm.
That should balance out, right?
Let's find out. This way.
That should have balanced out, right? It should have balanced out.
Next. File, please. Impressive.
Oh, yeah. I devoted my entire life to make this world a better place. I dug wells in Africa. I donated blood every month. And I ran an orphanage in India. I mean, I just wish I could have done more.
Mm-hmm. And is this your subscription?
I only read the articles. I only read the articles.
Next.
My mom goes to church.
Was baptized as a baby?
Take American Express, right?
Next. File, please. Whoa. Somebody's been busy. Well, let's get this over with. Sorry, I didn't know he was with you. Okay, step on the scale. Not you. Him.
a minute. That is totally not fair.
That's why it's called grace. Next.
So I like that visual, and hope you. I don't think the. I'm not sure how the judgment's going to go. It's. But. And I don't think you can make fun of it like that. But I think about that now. I think about those times. What's it going to be like to be in front of God when He looks at our lives? And how is it going to work when I get to those points where I failed and I'm inadequate? And I actually wondered, I go, are we going to have to walk through each time? And is Jesus Christ going to stand up? And you're going to wonder, is He going to stand up this time? And He's going to stand up and say, I have this. I have this. And He will stand in my place and He will stand in our place. What an amazing assurance to have. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation to be there and to know that He will be there and to be assured of that. To me, the visual is to see not Him, not Him. Oh, not you, not me get on the scale, Him get on the scale. It's powerful. For me, it's powerful. So with that, the truth, what is the truth the church has to support? The truth is that all of this is real. The spiritual life that we see symptoms of all around us, that we see, boy, we know deep down that it is good to have compassion. It is good to help people. Where does that come from? Deep down, we care, we see these qualities of God. Where does that come from? And the church holds up the truth. Without that, the building that collapsed can happen in our culture anywhere in the world if the church stops holding up the truth. And so part of our role as Christians is to do that. Part of our role is to stand and represent who God is and to witness that this world is real. This event will happen without the elevator music. It'll happen. It'll really happen. And it's hard to imagine to make light of it. It'd be very sobering either way to see the sacrifice and the love of God or to see a person standing on their own before a holy God. It'd be very sobering. So, to run around and live, and it's very common today. I hear all the time, well, I am not here to push my views on you or on anyone else. I'm not here to push my views either. But I want to represent who God is and this reality. Do I really care about people if I'm not willing to say, this is coming? Get out of the street. Get off the tracks. This is coming. And so, the truth, that this is the role of the church, is to help people understand that there is no more vivid, real truth than God and Jesus Christ. That is, everything will come back to Him. There are so many things that we have and we see and we spend time on, they're just going to go away. They're not going to be here. And Jesus said this. He says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hilltop cannot be hidden. You are the light. People are going to see because of light. They're going to see. And people need to be encouraged. And sometimes it's not big things. And I'll give you an example. You're going to think this is silly. I worry about things. I'm not supposed to, but I do. And sometimes I worry about little dumb things. And so one of them was, you ladies may have noticed that the faucets in the ladies' restroom stop working. And they have little cartridges that that get gummed up with minerals. And I thought, well, we'll just buy new cartridges. Well, our faucets are 11 years old, and the cartridges are expensive. They're not common. So I look online, and it's a lot of money. For three of the faucets, it's $322. And I'm going, $322? Where's that going to come from? That's crazy. I don't want to pay that. I'll find a cheaper place. I'll make it myself or something. We'll do something. That's a lot of money. And I found one guy online, one guy who had one cartridge. It was the best price I could find. I go, here we go. And I sent him a note on eBay. Says, do you have more than one of these? Because there's hot and cold. He says, no, I only have one. I bought it by mistake. And I says, oh, I need eight of them, you know. And so I says, well, it doesn't help me to have one. So he sends me a note a week later, and he says, how about if I didn't, no one bought it. No one wants one. How about if I just send it to you? I says, really? He says, you do that for me? And I says, yeah. I says, you know, I'm a pastor of a church, and our building is old. And I says, that means a lot to me that you would think of it. So he puts it in the mail. This is a dumb thing. He puts it in the mail. And God knows I worry about things. He puts it in the mail, and he writes a note. He says, he sends me the cartridge and $20 in the mail, and he says, God is good. He says, God is good. And to me, it wasn't about the dollars. It was that, well, you know, I was worried about that. And here, God knew that, and he just sent me this little note to go, we'll take care of this. And I go, well, sometimes you don't know what people will find encouraging, and we need hope. Everyone is struggling for hope. Isn't this funny to cry over a faucet? But it was a guy I never met, a guy I never met before named Matt. And I just appreciate how God does things little, sometimes it'd be a little thing. Little thing that God might use you, and you might not even know. You might not even know for a year or to the end of your life that a little thing you did touched someone's life. And I wonder, you know, how this is going to work. You know, how is God going to deal with all this hardship and suffering and pain here? How is he going to wash it all away you know, when it's dark, ever stay up late at night and look at the stars or look at the shooting stars? And when it's dark, you can see some amazing things. We've been out camping and you lay on the ground and you can see, if you see the little tiny dots of light, if you squint, I'm nearsighted, I have to squint, and you can see so many little subtleties. But when the sunrise comes, when the sun comes up, all of that darkness is gone. And all there is sun. It's so bright. It's so intense. It's so pure. All of that is washed away. And you don't go, where are the stars? Where's the darkness? So like, you go, man, look at the sun. Feel the warmth of the sun. That's how God's going to do it. When the sunrise comes, when God comes back, when the truth is revealed, all of that is going to be washed away. And we're here to tell people that that's the reality. That's the truth. We're here to support God in what he says. We're here to support him. Why don't we pray and we'll have the music team come up. God, thank you that you are the truth. That you use us average, ordinary people. You use the church to support who you are. And thank you for the chance to do that. Amen.